to this edition of the NAM and Eggs podcast. I'm your host, Rob Namnu, sports director at KRDO-TV in Colorado Springs, Pueblo. Now, on this edition of the NAM and Eggs podcast, I'm calling it your podcast for the day. It's your world. I'm living in it. And really, I do this podcast for you, the listener. And I greatly appreciate everyone who's really supported this podcast thus far. We've got a handful already in the bank, and boy, it's been great. It's really been received really well, and I greatly appreciate everyone supporting this podcast. If you want to find it, if you're watching the live stream right now, you can go to KRDO.com, click on the radio section, then there's a podcast section there, and then you can listen to my velvety voice. So thank you. All right, so because this is your podcast today, we can talk about a wide variety of issues dealing in the world of sports and whatever else you may want to chat about. I'll do my best to answer your questions. So if you're watching right now on the live stream, the number to dial is 719-473-1240. Again, 719-473-1240. All right, we're going to start with our poll question. Our NAM and Eggs poll question of the day is, do you believe the Broncos have found their backup QB in Chad Kelly? As you all remember, on Monday, Vance Joseph announced that Kelly has been promoted from the third-string quarterback to number two, and Paxton Lynch, the number one draft pick from 3 years ago, demoted to third string. So do you think the Broncos found their backup quarterback in Chad Kelly? It's a yes or no question. Yes, they have, or no, they need to go out and find a veteran quarterback. So we're going to chat a lot about the Broncos during this NAM and Eggs podcast today. This week, the Chicago Bears are at Broncos HQ. They've taken part in joint practices on Wednesday and Thursday. Then they'll play an exhibition game, their second preseason game of the year, from Broncos Stadium at Mile High. How generic is that, by the way? Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Can it get any more generic? The Broncos apparently have had a hard time finding a sponsor for the new stadium. They want to find a viable sponsor. They don't want to just get a money grab and then whoever the company may be go out of business in a couple of years, and yet their name is still on their stadium. So that's still a work in progress for the Broncos organization. So it's Broncos, Bears, and oh my at Broncos HQ this week. And the oh my has to deal with the Broncos rookie haircuts. If you haven't seen them, it's on my Facebook page, a little video Emmanuel Sanders put together. Those poor rookies, they got some horrible hairdos. This may be the worst crop of rookie hairdos I've ever seen in my time covering the Denver Broncos, when the veterans pull out the clippers and cut the player's hair. It is Bradley Chubb has just patches all over. Deshaun Hamilton, the rookie who had a head full of dreads, well, now he looks like he's got a big spider on top of his head. And the rookies, they had the option. Either get your hair cut or your eyebrows shaved. Philip Lindsay, who's got a nice, luscious head of hair, he went with getting his eyebrows shaved. So that's why this week at Broncos HQ, it is Broncos, Bears, and oh my. All right, so while we're on the subject of the Broncos, I want to give you some of my impressions and thoughts about what I've seen over the course of 3 weeks. That's when training camp started, about 3 weeks ago. And some of my impressions, some of my ruminations about what the Broncos look like thus far. Tricia's chimed in. Hi, Tricia, on the live stream. And she believes that Chad Kelly will make a better backup than Paxton Lynch. And I agree with that for sure. All right, so in the Broncos' first preseason game, we only caught a little glimpse of Case Keenum and the offense. Didn't see much. They had 6 offensive plays and no first downs. Now, I wanted to see Keenum play another series, and I think one of the reasons why Vance Joseph didn't have the first-string offense run out there again for a third series against the Vikings, and by the way, the Vikings have one of the best defenses in the NFL, is Jared Veldheer, the Broncos' first-string right tackle. He was getting pushed around And I don't think the coaching staff wanted to see Keenum get taken down in a preseason game and possibly suffer an injury. So I think that's one of the reasons why Vance Joseph and Bill Musgrave didn't run out the offense again for a third series. Would have been interesting if Peyton Manning was still on the roster and they only got six snaps in a preseason game. Trust me, he would have been clawing and scratching his way back on the field to get another series. So, you know, quarterbacking in the NFL, especially your first couple of years, and Case Keenum can attest to this, it's kind of like, you know, when you run on a treadmill for about 15 or 20 minutes and then you get off and you feel like you're on an escalator and you're still moving and you feel like you have no control. You feel like you're still moving. You're not actually moving. And you feel like you have no control for a few moments after you get off the treadmill. Well, that's what it's like being a first or second year quarterback in the NFL when you haven't had much game experience, which leads me to the backup quarterback situation. Now, Case Keenum says one of the reasons why he's still in the NFL and one of the reasons why he's finally a starter for the first time after playing on multiple teams and after being cut. In fact, when he was in Houston, their coaching staff basically said, you know, Bill O'Brien, their head coach, said to Case Keenum, "You'll never be anything more than a backup quarterback." Well, he didn't listen to that, obviously, and now he's the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos for at least this season and possibly next season as well, if the Broncos feel he's not their guy in the future and if they feel they can't find anybody to be that guy. But Case Keenum says one of the things he does is he doesn't listen to what's being written and said about him, which is probably another reason why he's still in the NFL, because I think that's what happens to a lot of young guys is they like to read positive reviews, and then when they don't get it, their confidence starts to waver a little bit. So Case Keenum, we talked to him this week, and he says, in fact, he likes to make sure that he gets away from work a little bit. He likes to get away from the NFL life. And here's what Case Keenum had to say.
I got a lot of ways. you know, obviously my faith is a big part of it. But I like getting away and turning my brain off. I think The Office, I think I'm about my fourth time through the whole series. So I'm a big Michael Scott fan. So I enjoy putting on an episode of The Office at night. It's so much more than just, you know, what we do in between the white lines. I mean, I think it's almost a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week deal. You know, it's especially when you park here and come into the building until when you leave. And then even so, I mean, it's how you rest and how you get away from it and making sure you're filled back up when you come back the next day. So, you know, it's a balancing thing for me. It's not overworking myself, not overthinking, you know, making sure that I'm prepared and mentally and physically, you know, strong for what's coming up.
And for what's coming up for Case Keenum and the Broncos after the preseason is 17 weeks of football. So he talked about preparation. And one of the reasons why I wanted to play that little clip is he talked about that this job is almost a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job, which leads me to the backup quarterback situation. Now, Chad Kelly, he's moved up to second string as Kelly has improved a lot. I'll be honest, and Trisha here on the live stream makes an excellent point. If Case Keenum gets hurt in the preseason, it could have a negative effect on the whole season. She's absolutely right. So I guess if Case Keenum were to go down at some point during those course of 17 weeks, and the Broncos didn't go out and get a veteran quarterback, and I'll talk about that in a moment, is I wouldn't be really comfortable with Chad Kelly as a backup going into the season. But if he had to play, the Broncos could put on the kid gloves and tell him, hey, go out there, don't turn the football over, and we'll win this game with our defense. And one of the reasons why Kelly has leapfrogged Paxton Lynch is plain and simple. He's just outworked him. You know, he is a guy, Chad Kelly, who's putting in the work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Paxton Lynch, if you watch him, whether you've gone up to training camp and watched him, whether you watched him in that first preseason game, he hasn't improved much. And this is his third training camp with the Broncos. Lynch still, I like the kid. He's a really nice guy. But he hasn't, you can tell he hasn't put in the work. He's not staying extra. I never see him when I'm up there after practice making some more throws. I'll give you an example between Case Keenum and Paxton Lynch. Week one, it was like the third or fourth day of training camp, and they were doing like a goal line situation. And it was basically corner on wide receiver. And Case Keenum throws a ball to Emmanuel Sanders, and it's not in the zip code. So after that drill's over, they go to the other end of the field, 100 yards down the field. He grabs Emmanuel Sanders, runs that same route three different times because he wants to get his timing down with Emmanuel Sanders. He's the leader. He wants to succeed. Paxton Lynch, and maybe it's not in his DNA. Maybe it's not in his DNA, but he sits on his hands and says, and I could tell you just from watching, Paxton Lynch can't throw that fade corner pass, the little flag pattern in the back of the end zone. He can't make that throw at all. He has no touch on his passes. And you would think over the course of the last two summers, or even three, that's something he may have worked on, that just that timing. And you could tell the receivers are frustrated. They're doing it with no one covering them, and he can't make that simple throw. Lynch still takes off from out of the pocket when things go haywire, still holds the football down way too low, and he, as I mentioned, he can't make that back shoulder throw. And you could just tell he comes in when he's supposed to come in, and he leaves when it's time to leave. Now, Lynch is a great athlete, but he's just not putting in the extra work. It's kind of a waste. As I said, nice guy, but he doesn't have the work ethic right now to succeed in the NFL. And I think, you know, he's an athletic quarterback. He's got a lot of gifts, but he's just not putting in the work. There's more to it in the NFL. And he didn't play in a pro system in college, so he wasn't prepared for the NFL game that way from college. And, you know, he's made some money because when you're a first-round draft pick, you get paid. He doesn't seem like someone who's content, but he just does not have the confidence to run an NFL offense. Like, he doesn't seem sure of himself. And that's why right now Paxton Lynch is the third-string quarterback of the Denver Broncos. So what I want to talk about now during this Nam and Aches podcast, thanks for listening, everybody. I'll say that again. I want to talk why the Broncos have really struggled on offense since PFM left, Peyton Manning. They haven't had a tight end to throw to. And if you look at some of the top teams in the NFL, they have reliable and sometimes extraordinarily athletic tight ends who are hard to cover because they're fast, they're big, they're strong, and they know how to get open. Patriots, for example, they've got Gronk. The Steelers have Jesse James. The Eagles have Zach Ertz. That's just to name a few. Now, if memory serves me right, the last time the Broncos have had a threat at tight end was Shannon Sharp. And I think Jake Butt could be that safety valve for Case Keenum, that reliable guy, that guy who's going to get open when things don't go according to plan. I think Jake Butt could be that guy. You know, he's a player I think can open up the field, you know, make life easier for Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. And I know Jeff Heuerman is listed as the top first-string tight end. And on Tuesday, Bill Musgrave, the Broncos offensive coordinator, said he could be a real weapon. But he's been dealing with a knee injury for most of camp, and he always seems to be hurt. So I haven't seen anything from Jeff Heuerman since he's been with the Broncos, since he was drafted out of the Ohio State. You look at some of the rookie wide receivers that the Broncos have. You got Deshaun Hamilton, and I've talked about on this podcast how much I love Cortland Sutton. But I do want to temper that a little bit because, as I've said in the past, it's tough for rookie wide receivers to thrive in the NFL. So much different. You know, the patterns have to be precise. You know, if you're supposed to run 8 yards and you run nine, that's not going to work. If you're supposed to run 8 yards and you run seven, that's not going to work. because everything is timing in the NFL. And as soon as that ball is snapped, sometimes it's three steps and it is out of the quarterback's hand. So not saying both guys aren't going to be good, especially Courtland Sutton. I think he's going to really thrive with the Broncos. But I wouldn't expect him this year to, you know, supplant Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas. He'll have a good season, but I wouldn't get overly excited about him from a fantasy football standpoint. He's going to have some games where he gets in the end zone, and then he's going to go a long stretch, have some droughts where he doesn't get in the end zone. You got to remember that. It's tough playing wide receiver in the NFL. There's more to it. All right, so a guy that has really stood out during camp, one of those undrafted guys, Philip Lindsay from the University of Colorado. What a great pickup. Man, is he is going to be a great third down threat for the Broncos. What a mismatch out of the backfield. If you put a linebacker on Philip Lindsay, as we saw in the Vikings preseason game, you just got to throw it out there. He's going to get it because the linebacker's not going to be able to cover him. And he also looks pretty good in practice on kickoff returns as well. So Philip Lindsay out of the University of Colorado, a Denver kid, looks like he's going to have an impact this year on the Broncos offense. Another thing I've noticed in camp is that Emmanuel Sanders seems to be a guy who's more at peace. He seems like the dude was stressed out the last year and a half or so. And some of it has to deal with, you know, the quarterback play over the last year or two. You know, when you're used to catching so many passes in a season and then the offense struggles and then the offensive coordinator gets fired like Mike McCoy did last year, that just stinks as a receiver, especially when you've been in the league for a while and you've had Peyton Manning throw you the football and you've had Ben Roethlisberger throw you the football when Emmanuel Sanders was with the Steelers. And then you go to uncertainty week in and week out. I mean, basically, teams last year focused on Sanders and DT, and they were like, well, what else are you guys going to do? Not much. The running backs look pretty strong for the Broncos. Looks like they're going to go with running back by committee with Devontae Booker, Royce Freeman, and when they need those tough yards, D'Angelo Henderson, the little human bowling ball. So it's not going to be one guy, and I don't think any more in the NFL unless you have just an elite tailback. I don't think it's going to go that way anymore. I think it's just going to be running back by committee to save guys' legs, save their knees, and save them from the wear and tear over the course of 17 weeks in an NFL season. Now, one thing I have to say about this year's training camp roster for the Broncos, you know, they got the 90 guys on their roster. There's some talent on it, a lot more talent than they've had over the last couple of years on their roster. And when they cut their roster down to 53 players, there's going to be some talented guys who are shown the door. And some other teams are going to be there waiting for them with open arms. Because there's some talented players on the roster who are going to get cut. Good to see Isaiah McKenzie score on a punt return in that first preseason game. Great kid. He's worked really hard in the offseason. He's really improved. When you watch him in training camp practice, he's a lot more smooth in catching punts. Before, it looked like a kid who had never caught a ball in the outfield. That kind of thing, you know, when you watch Little League Baseball and a ball's hit to the outfield and the kid's running kind of stiff-legged with the arm stiff and you're not sure if he's going to make the catch. It's kind of how Isaiah McKenzie looked last year during training camp. I will say this, and I did a story on him about 10 days ago. One of my favorite Broncos rookie receivers, or first-year guys with the Broncos, River Craycraft. Man, when he fields punts in practice, he looks really smooth. I would like to see him get a couple of chances in some of these preseason games. In the Vikings game, he didn't get any of the punts kicked to him. He didn't get to show what he is capable of doing. And I think if he's going to make the roster, which I think he's got a strong chance of being the number four, number five receiver, River Craycraft is going to make this team on special teams. So I'd love to see him get some chances. He's another. You know, I love the guys who are out on the field first. You know, even after first couple of days and they're still out there, they want to be the first guy out there. And River Craycraft told me that's very important to him because he knows this is his opportunity to make an NFL roster. And if he doesn't put in the work, then he doesn't get a shot. Let's talk a little bit about the defense now. You know, Von Miller didn't get to play in the first preseason game. Shane Ray told us afterwards he was a little upset. And I think the reason why Von was upset is, you know, usually when guys aren't going to play in a preseason game, they stand on the sidelines in their casual gear. They got a hat on. Well, Von Miller got dressed, and he got his engine revved up. And he warmed up, and he went on the field before the game and danced and got his legs ready. And then he was told, no, Von, you're not playing today. I mean, one series just to get the motor going a little bit, put it in a drive. So I think he was upset. This week he said he wasn't, but I think he was a little peeved because he wasn't in street gear, so to speak. So Von and the Orange Crush, well, they got to go up against the Bears this Wednesday and Thursday in joint practices. And Von Miller says he puts in work every day, regardless of the situation.
Even if I'm not going against another team, it's not a, you know, I go out there and I practice. You know, it's not a, I don't come right here and say, okay, today I'm going to go 80% or, you know, today I'm going to go 100%. I think as a human being, you know, we all struggle with consistency, you know, and I'm the same as everybody else. You know, you could be great one day and, you know, struggle with the same stuff, you know, the next day. So it's, I don't come out here to practice with an agenda. I just try to, you know, I just try to practice hard and play. Sometimes it, you know, it works in my favor. Sometimes it doesn't.
I don't know. I sack the quarterback and tell jokes. That's what I do.
So that's Von Miller's world. He sacks the quarterback and he tells jokes. Now, if you watch me, you know, at 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock every night, you know I love to play the more humorous sound bites from athletes. And what I always find funny is I think Von Miller is an entertaining guy. I think he likes the limelight. I think he loves to be unique and different. That's what separates him from maybe today's athlete in this Instagram world, in this social media world that we now live in, where it's, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I think that's what separates Von Miller a little bit from the rest of the guys who are trying to be funny and trying to be creative. I do think Von Miller needs an outlet to be creative and to be funny. But what's funny is, so when you go to Broncos training camp or practice, and the big players, the big name players like Von Miller and Case Keenum, they have a box that they stand on, and it has the Broncos background behind them. And anytime anyone says anything remotely funny, we all laugh. It's like we're at a comedy show. You know, you pay your money to get in, you buy your two drinks, and then you sit back and say, okay, entertain me. I always think that's one of the funny parts about my profession is, even if a guy is kind of funny, we laugh a little harder. So that way it loosens them up, and boy, we really get some great sound bites out of them. So Von Miller, they're talking about putting in the work. I think really that's the theme of this Nam and Aches podcast is putting in the work. By the way, speaking of social media, if you would like, you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RobNamNoum, Namnoum being NamNoum, and on my Facebook page, which is RobNamNoum, KRDO. So if you want to follow me that way, ask me some questions, be glad to answer them for you. Really like the Broncos secondary. After watching them in that first preseason game against the Vikings, I feel good about them. Bradley Roby is going to have no issue filling the shoes of Aqib Talib. No problem whatsoever. And it looks like Chris Harris is going to be, unlike when Talib was with the Broncos, he's going to follow the team's top receiver, meaning if they line up on the left side, Chris Harris will be in front of him. If they line up on the right slot, Chris Harris will be right there in front of him. In fact, in the first preseason game, he played a lot of slot while the rookie, Isaiah Yiadom from Boston College, started at right corner. He is a guy who has really ascended in training camp. He's another guy. First guy. He's the first defensive player always on the field. Always on the field. And he told me the reason why he does that is because he likes to get warmed up and he likes to work on his footwork, which is very important for a cornerback. I thought he played well in the Broncos' first preseason game. Saw a lot of action, did quite well. So I think, again, the theme of this podcast is putting in work. Whatever you do in life, I tell my kids this all the time, if you want to be good at something, you got to put in the work, even when things come easy for you. You can always be better. You can always put in the work. That's my two cents, my words of wisdom of the day. Love the depth on the defensive line that the Broncos have. And they can bring guys in and out and not drop a beat, which a lot of good teams have. Sometimes teams always have the rotations on the defensive line. They put in their second string guys and their production drops off a little bit. You know, those 3-yard runs become a 6-yard run. And a player who's not talked enough about on the Broncos defense, I love this guy, is Shelby Harris. Really stood out last year during his first year with the Broncos. Played well. Glad he's back. He really fits in Joe Woods' system. Joe Woods being the Broncos defensive coordinator. Also really like Zach Kerr. I just like him in general, but I think he's a good football player as well. So the Broncos got some beefy guys, you know, with Domantas Petco. Derek Wolfe looked strong again. He's going to have another good season. Hopefully his neck won't give him issues. Shane Reyes looked really good. The man is about business. He was wearing a hat after the first preseason game. You know the Friends logo? Remember that popular TV show in the 90s? It said no friends. It was kind of funny. I asked him about it. And he you know, he's just taking more of a serious approach this year because after this year, he's going to be a free agent and he wants to collect a big payday. So if he has a good year for the Broncos, I can see him getting 8 to 12 sacks in that defense. He'll get paid handsomely. And it's good to see he's taking his job a little more seriously, but he's still kind of the same Shane Ray. Maybe dial back a little bit. But he's a really smart guy, really thoughtful. You know, you can tell he challenges himself not only as a football player, but as a person as well. Really has some depth to him when you get to talk to him a little bit. Curious to see how DeMarcus Walker would develop in year two for the Broncos. He's put on some weight. He'll play a little defensive. And for the Broncos, he was a guy they used a second-round draft pick on last year and he struggled because he lost some weight his rookie year. He was out of position, wasn't comfortable. Now he looks like he's more in a comfort zone. Hasn't stood out in camp, but I'm curious to see how he develops in year two. That next step, does he take that next step? A guy who's really impressive is Josie Joel from Ohio. Rookie middle linebacker. He'll be Brandon Marshall's backup. When he gets on the field, he acts like he belongs there. You know, he just really stands out. He's not afraid to make the play calls. Seems to know where he's supposed to go. Where he seems like he can really get after a tailback or somebody who has the football can really run that east to west, you know, north and south. So he's been pretty impressive, Josie Joel. All right. So one thing and by the way, speaking of Josie Joel, Von Miller has been really impressed with him too. Von Miller has been impressed with just his leadership skills and how he doesn't really seem to act like a rookie when he's out on the field. And that's high praise coming from Von Miller. All right, something I want to talk about that's near and dear to my heart. I've got a fundraiser coming up. And all the money is going to go to the JDRF, which is the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. It's called A Shot for Grace. And what I'll be doing is I'll be shooting free throws at Cheyenne Mountain High School in Colorado Springs for 24 consecutive hours. That's right, 24 hours of me jacking up free throws. And this will be the second year that I've done this fundraiser. And last year, thanks to our community, I raised $7,000. And all of it went to the JDRF. And what they do is they do research, and they're hoping to find a cure for type 1 diabetes. There's a lot of kids in southern Colorado and around the country and around the world who suffer from type 1 diabetes, including my daughter Grace, who was diagnosed in April of 2017. So this is, as I mentioned, near and dear to my heart. So a couple of things I want to talk about when it comes to a Shot for Grace fundraiser. First of all, if you'd like to donate, you can go to my Facebook page or my Twitter handle. Again, Facebook, Rob Namnum, KRDO. Twitter is at Rob Namnum. There'll be a silent auction as well at the high school from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on August 25th. So the fundraiser is in the silent auction will be August 25th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cheyenne Mountain High School. Would love for you to come out and just support me as I jack up free throws for 24 hours. I will begin on August 24th, which is a Friday, and I will begin shooting my free throws at 6 p.m. that night, and I'll go to 6 p.m. on Saturday night, August 25th. So Shot for Grace fundraiser, August 25th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cheyenne Mountain High School in Colorado Springs. Now, I got some great silent auction items for you. I got a Shane Ray autographed picture. And the reason being, Shane Ray, as he told me just recently, diabetes has had a big effect in his family. He's got uncles and aunts and a lot of family members who suffer from diabetes. So this is something that's near and dear to Shane Ray's heart, the Broncos linebacker. Rick Barry, one of the top 50 players in NBA history, he's donated some memorabilia. So there's going to be some cool stuff there from the former Golden State Warrior great. There's going to be also items to bid on. Air Force football tickets, two games, the opener, and then also another game, the Thanksgiving Day game against Colorado State. So if you want to get some tickets to that, come down to my fundraiser and make a bid. Also have some Colorado College hockey tickets that you can bid on. Cool item. Big thank you to the Denver Nuggets. They're always a big supporter of the Shot for Grace fundraiser. They have sent me a Nikola Jokic autographed basketball, so that's a pretty cool item. The Sky Sox, they went above and beyond. Thank you, Colorado Springs Sky Sox. They've donated a Todd Helton bobblehead from his Sky Sox day. Pretty cool item. So if you're a Todd Helton fan, that might be something that you want to have as part of your Todd Helton memorabilia. They also, now next year they won't be the Sky Sox. We've talked about that in this Nam and Eggs podcast. You can bid on a suite for a game next year. You can bring 19 of your friends and check out a little minor league baseball on a summer night in Colorado Springs. The CSU Pueblo football program has donated tickets as well, 4 tickets to a game this year. So if you're a big fan of the Wolfpack, I've got some area businesses who've donated, you know, various things from tennis lessons to the Cheyenne Mountain Country Club to the downtown dentist in Colorado Springs. They've donated some teeth whitening and some appointment stuff and electric toothbrushes. We're also going to have a chance for you to bid on maybe getting a little Pilates in your life. So if you want to come on down, if you want to just support us, if you want to make a donation, go to my Facebook page, which is Rob Namnum KRDO, and the Shot for Grace fundraiser. So the Broncos will play their second preseason game against the Chicago Bears on Saturday night. We'll chat more about that next week on this Nam and Eggs podcast. Again, the poll question today is, do you believe the Broncos have found their backup quarterback in Chad Kelly? It's a simple yes or no answer. By the way, John Elway did say recently that, hey, if I have to, we'll go out and get a veteran quarterback. And what will probably happen is they'll wait till after the final preseason game. They'll decide, okay, if Case goes down, do we trust Chad Kelly? And if the answer is no, then they go to the waiver wire and they find one of those veteran quarterbacks who've been cut in the league. And with Gary Kubiak being a big part of the Broncos organization now, he'll have his say and he'll find a backup quarterback, because that's what he did when he was the coach of the Houston Texans, and that's what he did when he was the head coach of the Denver Broncos. So I want to thank everybody for downloading this Nam and Eggs podcast. Really appreciate your support. We talked a lot about the Denver Broncos with training camp wrapping up And now it's on to their second and third and fourth preseason game. And this will become now a weekly thing that we do. For KRDO.com, just click on the radio tab, click on the podcast, and you can find this Nam and Eggs podcast. So, again, thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening to the Nam and Eggs podcast. I'm Rob Namnoom. I hope you enjoy your day. Thanks for listening.